That's the best I ever heard you sing. Thank you.
Well, that was one of the finest compliments you ever made. You actually called that singing. Now you know why you got to pray for Brother Joey, or at least pray for the church in Torun, because when Brother Joe comes back here to San Antonio, I lead the singing. Open your Bibles, if you will, to John in chapter 9. While you're opening your Bibles, I'll tell you another thing about singing. Brother Brian was talking about a sacrifice unto the Lord that's of great value. I think singing unto the Lord is of great value. I think of it like a father or a grandfather now, when their children or grandchildren in their young age come up to them and say, "Daddy, I have a song for you." And they usually don't sing very well. But when you sing, hear them sing, it just brings old crocodile tears right out, because you know it came from their heart. And that's the kind of singing that the Lord delights in. I know some of these professional singers, you know, they hit every key properly. I always hit the keys that they miss. And I was traumatized as a youth. I was kicked out of a Lutheran choir, so I'm still recovering. Let's stand and read the Scriptures in John in chapter 9. We'll begin at the first verse and we'll read through verse 5. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" And I ask Brother Brian to pray for this meeting tonight.
Lord Jesus, we're here and we're in your name. And Lord, we're seeking your face.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, that you would help us tonight. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we hear the preaching. I pray that you would bless Brother Brent and just give him the exact words that he needs to be able to communicate what you want us to know. And Lord, we want ready hearts. I pray that you would help us tonight to respond to what you have for us, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. If I may finish up the announcements, we really do need to get on the phone, ask all your friends to come. Wouldn't hurt you to ask your enemies to come. Maybe there'll be some reconciliation.
Amen.
Get your family out to hear the Word of God. You get people exposed to the Word of God, and the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You get people around the Word of God, we have an opportunity to see fruit. As long as they're away from the Word of God, we don't have much opportunity. But get them exposed to the Word of God, and we have opportunity. I'm thankful you're here. I think you're here for a purpose, and I hope the Word of God is a blessing to your heart this evening. Notice what our text says here, "And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." I've known some men that were blind. I can't think of an infirmity that would be worse than being blind. Now, there's some diseases that people get that are very crippling, that are very difficult, they're very painful, but I just cannot imagine my own life walking around blind. Have you ever tried that children's game where you just close your eyes and see how far you can walk with your eyes closed? I remember we were in Poland, we were riding a train. And Jason, where's Jason at? I could tell off on that, my boy. So we were riding a train. And he had fallen asleep. You can tell all your guys down there at the jail, tell them everything. Yeah, everything I say about Jason, this is a true story. Yeah, just pass this on. Yeah. So he fell asleep, and then the train happened to be going through a tunnel. And about that time, he woke up. And you go through that tunnel, it just pitch black. And he says, I can't see. I can't see. I'm blind. I'm blind. Don't worry, son. I'll pray for you and the lights will come out in just a minute.
Where are you sleeping tonight?
There used to be a brother attending this church, George Whitney. Blind man. And we were a young group, young people, and we'd want to go bowling. And George says, I want to come. George, we're going bowling. That's all right. I can't bowl, but I'll keep score. All right, George. So I get up at the line there, and you know, I really enjoyed bowling in my youth. I was on a traveling bowling league, so I liked to bowl. So I roll that ball down there, and crack! Wasn't a strike. I said, George, that's 8-8, right down an 8. He said, you didn't get an 8, you got a sleeper. I said, George, I'm looking at the pins, I got an 8. Write an 8 down. You didn't get 8, you only knocked 7 down. That's frustrating, and I'm looking at the pins, I can see there's 2 pins standing up, and he says, no, you only got 7. And I sort of stood over so I could get a better angle, and sure enough, there were 7. That guy was counting them pins as they were cracking. I don't know how he did it. He wasn't 100%, but he was about 80% that night of right, and he's keeping score. That's amazing. But I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. That's a tough row to hoe. Of course, I wasn't dating Janice at the time, but I was casting my eyes upon her. Of course, she was dating a pretty big fella. I'll tell you that story some other time. But I understood that he came up to Janice and said, Janice, I'd like to take you out on a date. And she said, well, George, why would you want to do that? And he said, well, you must be a good looker.
Amen.
That's how you have to say it, right? If you're blind, she has to be the good looker, right? So she's the one that's looking. You'll catch that by the time you get home. I knew another blind man in Irapuato, Guanajuato. Went blind at 45 years old. When we met him, he was a bitter old man. Just bitter, bitter, bitter. I don't know how his wife put up with it. He was bitter that he had gone blind. But you know what? The grace of God touched his heart, and he got saved. And I remember he started preaching the gospel. And if you didn't preach, if you didn't say amen when Brother Javier, right? When Brother Javier was preaching, you had to say amen every once in a while because he'd be preaching over here and the crowd is back here. So you'd have to say, amen, Brother Javier, amen. And he'd turn around and get facing the crowd. But I'll never forget what he told us later on after he got saved. He says, I thank God every day that he caused me to be blind. Because if God had not caused me to be blind, I would have never listened to you. But because I was blind now, I heard the gospel and thank God that I'm blind. The Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, I don't think any of us want to be blind. I'm half blind with these glasses. I can't hardly see anything, even with glasses on. That's not a pleasant situation, but you know, that is an opportunity for a decision. I want you to think tonight and try to imagine, I'm trying to describe what it's like to be blind. What it's like to have an affliction. Now, he was born blind, so he didn't know like Javier, who'd lived 45 years and knew the colors and knew what it was like to see light and be able to see and then lose it. That would be a tragedy. So in one sense, he was in darkness all his life. He didn't know anything else. Yet we find people in our generation and throughout history that have found themselves in affliction, and there's a tendency to blame God. It's all God's fault. And it causes bitterness in people, and they become bitter against God. And we're going to find out why this happened in a minute. But there's another problem that I found that has happened, is those around these people that have been afflicted, suddenly they get proud. And they look down their nose at people that are blind or they've been afflicted. And like Brother Brian was asking, you know, somebody comes up and said, you know, what sin did you commit? That's what it says here, doesn't it? And guess who's asking the question? Guess it. It ain't the old atheist out there. It's not the agnostic. It's not the person that doesn't believe in God. Why, it's the disciples of Christ that come up to Him and say, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because they had a complete misconception of God's plan for the lives of every person on this planet. The Bible says this. You have your Bibles?
Amen.
Open them up fast, because we have lots of verses to read tonight, and little Leighton Tillery. Where is he? Uh-huh. Who's the guardian of that child? He comes up to me and says, grabs my hand and says, Brother Ricks, are you going to preach a short sermon tonight? So you guys got to flip them pages faster because Leighton's got an appointment. You got your Bible, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Let me tell you something. Good and bad things happen to good and bad people. There are things that happen that we cannot explain. And that we ought to be careful about judging the circumstances, because bless God, we don't have all the facts.
Amen.
God Almighty has all the facts. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows the reason. He has all the facts for Him that are available to make the right decision. And you and I, we don't always have the facts. You know what I know? I know there are some people praying for rain. And there's other people that are praying that it doesn't rain. You tell your kids this weekend, we're going to go to the beach. And what are they praying? I'm praying it ain't raining. And there's some old farmer somewhere, and he's praying, God, send rain. God, send rain. Lord, we need rain. Somebody's prayer got answered. And somebody didn't. You better be careful how you judge the situation. You don't know why it's raining. God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Flip your Bibles quickly. And we know, do you know this? It says we know, do you know it? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things work together. The rain and the drought. The good and the bad. I can't explain that verse. I can only believe it. I can only trust it. I don't understand why certain things happen. I understand certain things because the Scriptures tell me. But a lot of times I just have to take that by faith. Now, this idea of who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind, has perplexed people throughout history. It is the cause of a lot of religions. Major religions. Have you ever heard of a man named Pythagoras? You mathematicians here, you ever hear him? Exactly right. Don't ask me what that is, but I'm glad you know. I used to know, but I forgot. He was not only a mathematician, but he was a philosopher. And he believed in, I can't even say these words, I'll try that again. Metempsychosis. That's a fancy word for transmigration of the soul. He believed the soul, when you died, it went somewhere else. It went in some other body, whether it was an animal or whether it was a human. From that idea, there's others. You ever heard of Buddhism? The cycle of rebirth? You ever heard of Hinduism? The idea of reincarnation? The idea is the way you live in this life is going to determine how you live in another life. Yeah? You notice how they take a little bit of truth and mix it with a little bit of error, and all of a sudden they have a new religion? You know the problem with that doctrine? The Bible says it is appointed on men once to die. That's how I know that's wrong. I remember in Poland they used to have the Woodstock celebration in Poland. Joy and I went down there with our boys. We passed out lots of tracts, got an opportunity to preach the gospel. But the Hare Krishna were the ones that organized this rock concert. And they'd go down there and literally thousands of young people come off from all over Poland, probably from all over Europe. They'd camp out and they'd have these big old speakers just blaring and rock music going. And I won't even tell you all the things that are going on in that place, but it was crazy. But the Hare Krishnas put it on. And the Hare Krishnas would pretend that they believed the Bible. And there was a 5-point sermon I preached right in front of their tent. But one of the points was, you say you believe the Bible, what about this verse in Hebrews where it says, it's appointed on a man once to die, but after this the judgment. And they had no answer for that.
Amen.
So I know that the disciples were wrong in their perception. I know that a lot of religious people are wrong in their perception because God Almighty has already given His Word about the death and resurrection. You see, I don't believe in reincarnation. I believe in a resurrection.
Amen.
And bless God, if Aunt Shirley goes to meet her Maker, one day she's going to rise again.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Believest thou this? Look over in Acts in chapter 28. Not only religious people, not only disciples of Christ have a misconception about sin and affliction, but the heathen. In verse 3 of that chapter it says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live. The heathen thought that because of this viper, and they knew that this viper, the snake that bit him that was poisonous, when it latched hold of Paul, they knew he wasn't going to live. They knew you don't recover from that type of snake bite. And so they prejudged. They made a determination without the facts that Paul must have been a murderer, otherwise that affliction wouldn't have happened to him. Did I understand that scripture right? Look back in the book of Job. You remember Job? Some of his friends came over to comfort him, and miserable comforters were they all. One of them said, I think it was Eliphaz, he said, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? I didn't tell you. You don't know where that verse is? Why, it's in the book of Job. Start in chapter 1 and keep on reading. When you get up to chapter 4, you're getting close. When you get down to verse 7, there she be. Are you keeping up? I'm going too fast. Leighton, I'm trying. They're just not keeping up with me. When Jesus hung on the cross, the prophecy said, we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yeah, I know why. This is what people think. Yeah, we know why you're afflicted. God Almighty's against you. That's why you sinned against God. Who did sin? This man or his parents? Somebody must have sinned. When did Jesus sin? And why was he suffering on the cross? Now, I think we all understand that death and sin come from the sin of Adam. We understand that, don't we? We understand the prop thorns, sweat, the pain of childbirth. All of these things, they happen because Adam made a wrong decision a long, long time ago. That's why it's so important for us to make the right decision. Because our decisions not only have an effect on us, it has an effect on all of our family. Yeah. You make the wrong decision about that beer bottle, and you'll end up putting somebody in the grave, and you'll be sitting in the jail somewhere, and that'll have effect on your family. You let your friends persuade you that you'd be in, you got to snort crack and take dope or whatever, and you'll get hooked on that, and you'll be an affliction to your mother, an affliction to your parents, an affliction to your family, an affliction to all those around you for the rest of your born days, because you made a wrong decision. One thing I want to encourage you during these meetings is it's all about decisions. We need to go down in the valley of the decision and make the right decision and choose God.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." You better be careful how you look down your nose at somebody else that's been afflicted.
Amen.
You don't know why they're afflicted. Amen. It may be for sin, but it may be for some other reason. You don't know. You don't have all the facts.
Amen.
You know what Jesus said about this situation? Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents,
Amen.
But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now I want to back up a little bit. We're going to get to a verse in a little bit on the trial of your faith. Here's a mother and here's a father. The Bible doesn't tell us if this is the firstborn or the lastborn. Doesn't tell us exactly when or in what order this child was born. Doesn't tell us if he had any other children or not. It does tell us that he had parents and he was their son. But you can imagine the joy that mother had when she got the news. I'm with child. In Polish, they say, you're in a blessed state. They don't say, I'm pregnant. They say, I'm in a blessed state. And the mothers go around and say, I'm in a blessed state. You know, to the joy, I know they probably sent out cards and says, finally, we're going to have a child. Don't you know the dad was walking around a proud peacock? I don't know if they had them machines they look inside. Probably not, right? They didn't have the machine look inside and tell you what it's going to be. What? He found out that it's a boy. Don't you know he's walking around? That's my boy. Yeah. I had a son. Yeah? Are you with me? And that child began to grow, and then parents started realizing he's not following the rattle. He's not following my finger. I turn on the light, and he's not blinking. Somewhere along the line, they found out that he was blind. What kind of news is that for a family? Don't you know that was burdensome? I don't know how many specialists they took that child to, but I know they probably did their very best so their child would have the very best for that child. We know that he's a man now. I don't know exactly what determines when it becomes a man, but he was a man. So it's been a long journey for them. It was a long journey for him. I wonder if their parents sat down one day and said, we're not going to worry about this. Bless God, this is going to be for the glory of God. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think they had the vision. I don't think they had the faith. Because when the religious crowd came knocking at the door and began to ask some questions, well, he's of age, you ask him. We don't want anything to do with this. But don't you know that was a burden for that family? Don't you know it was a burden for that man? All his life groping around in darkness, never knowing the color of an apple, never seeing the face of his mother, never looking in the eyes of his father, never looking at a good looker. Do you understand?
Amen.
And one day Jesus saw him. And he said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And you know what, brothers? We don't have time to go through all this chapter. But you know what? I'm convinced this is very important because God devoted over 41 verses to this
Amen.
Subject.
Amen.
I don't think He got 41 verses in Genesis 1. How many verses in Genesis 1? Anybody know? 28, 29, 31? 41 verses for one man. I think God has a message here for us, don't you? Look over in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29. You got it? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and what? Sickly. Among you, and many sleep. In other words, they died as believers. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I don't want you to make the false conclusion on the other side. Because it would be just as wrong to stand there, and just as it is to say he's afflicted because he sinned. That would be wrong to make that assumption, as it would be to assume the other side of the coin. You don't know.
Amen.
Do you understand? You don't know. It's not for you to judge.
Amen.
Some people are afflicted because they sin. Sometimes God Almighty has enough of their rebellion. Enough of their saying no. And some people end up blind. Isn't that what happened in the book of Acts? Wasn't the Apostle Paul trying to preach the gospel and somebody ended up blind? Wasn't Paul himself blinded? Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. There is a verse of Scripture that I'm looking for in my notes. I can't find it right now. Look down in Job in chapter 34 and verse 12. And it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commanded them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. In this case, talking about weather conditions. Somebody says, why did God allow that hurricane? Some self-righteous hypocrite stands up, bless God, that's God's judgment. That's God's judgment upon the Muslims. Until the hurricane hits New Orleans. Was that God's judgment on Muslims over there in New Orleans?
Amen.
What about all them non-Muslims that died?
Yeah.
We better be careful how we judge.
Right. Amen.
It may be very well God was judging them for sin. It might be. How would you know? How would I know? Sometimes the land needs a hurricane. Yeah? And if you build a house in hurricane territory, you're taking a great risk. Yeah? Sometimes the land needs a drought. Hello? Sometimes it's the mercy of the Lord, and this is very mysterious for us, isn't it? How can that be the mercy of the Lord? Why don't you go down? I don't know, is Brother Javier still alive? Did he pass away? He's passed away. Can't ask him. But we did hear from his own voice. I thank God that I was afflicted. I thank God that I was blind, because now I know the mercy of the Lord. Look in John in chapter 11. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There was a friend of Jesus named Lazarus. He became ill, and the Bible says, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? The glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And down a little bit further, when he had heard thereof that he was sick, what did he do? He didn't rush right over there. The Bible says he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus could have transported himself right into his room and healed him right there. In fact, Jesus could have spoke the word and Lazarus would have been healed at the very moment. But my Bible says that when Jesus got the information that his friend Lazarus was sick, he didn't rush right over there. He stood still. And he allowed Lazarus to die. Isn't that what happened? He allowed those two sisters of Lazarus to weep their eyes out and take a trip down into the valley of mourning. Yeah? Tough to lose a loved one, isn't it? And Jesus Christ purposely allowed that. Now, you and I don't understand that. God here is trying to bring us to a place where he says, trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. You ever come to that place? Somebody says, you got a theme for this missionary, or this missionary, this revival meeting? I don't know if I have a theme, but it seems to be coming out. Trust God. You just got to believe God. God wants us to trust Him. And it's very easy to have a superficial trust in God when you got a full bank account and you're feeling real good and everything's straight. God finds out when you trust Him when He goes down in the valley of affliction. And so God allows us to be afflicted sometimes. And God allows us to carry some heavy burdens sometimes. And God allows us to have some problems in our life because God is looking for something that's valuable in eternity, and it's called faith.
Amen.
Faith in God Almighty. Now, if you went to the blind man before he met Jesus and asked him, is it worth it? I bet he'd have a plate full of complaints. But you ask him after he got his sight, was it worth it? I bet he'd sing that song and say, bless God, it was worth it. I'm telling you, it was worth it. Glory to God, it was worth it. He'd be singing just like Javier. Because he experienced the mercy of God. I've never met a Christian in my lifetime that said to me, Brother Brent, I regret becoming a Christian. Now, they regret a lot of sins they committed, even before they became a Christian and even after they become a Christian. But I never met a Christian that said, you know, I'm approaching the day of my death, and it's just terrible that I became a Christian. Never met anybody like that. I've met quite a few that was on the other side of that coin and said, what a waste of my life. I talked about my daddy last night. I'm going to talk about him again tonight. I sat up with him on his deathbed, and he just had big old crocodile tears running down his eyes. He says, I know God wants me to preach. I know God wants me to preach. Why am I dying? I know God wants me to preach. I wasted my life. I wasted my life. I ran from God all my life. And now I know His grace and His love. And I can't preach now. He didn't regret that he became a Christian. He regretted that he didn't become a Christian when he had an opportunity in his youth. I did not say religious. I said Christian. I hope you understand the difference. Lots of religion out there. You don't need religion, friend. You need Jesus Christ. All right, I'll tell you what. I wake up in the morning and I've got a cold sweat running down me and I got a headache and I'm sicker than a dog. What am I thinking? First thing I ask myself, what did I eat last night? Sometimes it was too many jalapenos. And the only reason I'm sick is because I like jalapenos and I ate too many. Yeah? Maybe for you it's pizza. I don't know how anybody ever recovers from sauerkraut, but whatever. Sometimes we're sick because we don't eat right.
Amen.
Or we eat the wrong thing.
Amen.
I remember a time we went up to Gdansk. Danzig was the old German name for the city. We went up to Gdansk in northern Poland, had a preaching campaign, stepped into a Polish restaurant to have something to eat in the afternoon, or in the evening, I guess it was, in the evening after the preaching. And I ordered a shish kebab, and it came out, that thing looked like a fried rat. My wife's eyes got this big, she couldn't believe I was just munching on that thing. I said, this tastes a little bit different. But I ate it all. I woke up the next day running at both ends. I don't like doctors and I'm just dying. And my beloved wife said, honey, do you want me to call a doctor? No, I don't want no doctor. Well, I won't tell you what happened, but you get the picture. Finally, I got to the place and said, call a doctor. Call a doctor. I'm dying. That doctor came in and took one look at me. Get him to the clinic. Get him to the clinic. They dragged me out in the car and dragged me off to the clinic, and they put that IV in me. When I got water back in me, oh, how do you spell relief? An IV with liquid in it. Yeah, sometimes you ate the wrong thing. I was a 16-year-old boy, turned 16. You've been down this road before? Probably so. I hope not, but probably so. All my friends got together and said, try this. Hand me a beer. Took one swig of that and said, you ought to put that back in the donkey. And then they brought me some other stuff. I don't know, Jack Daniels or something. Said, try this. They gave, I don't know how many things they gave me. I didn't like any of them. Now that's the mercy of God. You know why I never smoked a cigarette? Never in my life. 4 years old, I was eating my Cheerios. My Cheerios, I was eating them. Got up from the... I remember this. I was 4 years old, less than five. I know, because I wasn't in kindergarten yet. And I remember the house we were living in. 4 years old, went up to use the restroom. Both my parents smoked. Came back into the kitchen to finish up my Cheerios, and my mother had put out her cigarette in my Cheerios. I was never tempted to smoke, not one time in my life. But my so-called friends had offered at me every type of liquor they could think of, and they finally found some Boone's Farm apple wine. Now, I like apple juice. I took a swig of that, and I said, oh, yeah, I can handle this. I drank that whole bottle and said, give me another. And I drank another bottle, and I said, whoo, ain't we having a time. I woke up that night in the middle of a snowfield in Michigan. Walked home, got home about 3 o'clock in the morning, and went to bed. Got up the next morning about 10 o'clock, feeling like the best thing in the world, and about 10:30 it hit me. And I won't tell you what happened. A similar experience that I had up there in Gdansk. I was sicker than a dog. I thought I was dying. I got on the phone, called my mother at work and said, I'm dying. She came home and she said, son, what have you been doing? You been doing something wrong? Oh, no, no. You're such a good boy. Yeah. She, on the way to the doctor, she says, you know, I got a suspicion what you did last night. I didn't care. Just get me the doctor because I'm dying. I didn't care what was going to happen because I needed medical attention. Got me to the doctor, found out I had pneumonia. That was sort of a blessing in disguise because if you said I just had a hangover, I would have been hung. But I got laid up in bed for 10 days. I was not allowed to get out of bed. Now, when I got sick in them old days, we had one of them big TV, not one of these big screen TVs, but we had a big TV with a little screen. Some of you don't know, have any idea what I'm talking about. We didn't have them little clickers where you can lay in bed and click the channel. I don't know why you need to do that. There's only three channels. Hello? Somebody's getting old around here. Lay in that bed, and as long as I laid flat, the world was calm and I was okay. But if I sat up, the world went crazy and I wasn't feeling good anymore. Every 10 minutes, for 10 days, I laid in that bed. Every 10 minutes, a commercial came on. Have you tried Boone's Farm apple wine? And I got sicker than a dog every 10 minutes. I ain't never touched a drop of liquor since.
Amen.
I wasn't saved. That was the grace of God.
Amen.
You might be sick tonight. You might be afflicted tonight just because you ate something or drank something or did something wrong. Doesn't have anything to do with sin. You might be afflicted tonight because you did sin. STD, sexually transmitted disease. You know how many thousands of people have those diseases? Where do you think it comes from? It comes from sin.
Amen.
You say, is that the judgment of God? I don't know necessarily that's necessarily the judgment of God. That's just a consequence of sin.
Yeah.
What you reap is what you sow. Somebody says, "Do you think that HIV and AIDS is the judgment of God upon homosexuality?" No. I didn't get no amens on that. No. The judgment on sodomy is fire from heaven. Don't you read your Bible? When God has enough of it, fire is coming down from heaven. But I will say that HIV is just a natural consequence of sin.
That's right.
So you might be afflicted tonight because of sin. And you might be afflicted tonight because God's got a glorious work to do in you. We got a young couple here. I hope I don't embarrass you. But I thank God for you too. There's been many a night I said, I can't do this no more, Lord. I'm tired. This language is too hard. The weather's too cold. They're not interested in any way. I just want to give up. And I think of Brian and Judy. And I say, I can go on. I thank God for you too. Yeah. Sometimes God allows us to go through affliction so we might be a blessing to somebody. Well, I got a whole lot more verses, but I'm going to close it in 1 Peter in chapter 1. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's God's perspective. That's God's viewpoint. And if there's one thing that I want to persuade you in this revival meeting is to look at things from God's perspective. Take God at His Word. Don't allow your emotions to control you. Don't allow your situations to dictate how you react. Get a hold of God's Word and trust Him.
Amen.
Believe Him. Put your confidence in Him. When you can't explain it, cry out to Him and say, God, I don't understand, but I trust You. Lord, I don't know what You're doing. If it be sin in me, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord, if it's for Your land, then praise God. But God, if it's for Your glory, let Your glory shine in me. I would be hesitant to pray that type of prayer because I think that this blind man experienced something that very few men in history got to experience. When Paul cried out three times that God would take away his affliction, God Almighty said to him, My grace is sufficient for thee. I think Paul understood something that very few men in history understood. He experienced something that you and I just cannot explain. He understood the grace of God. I think you ought to trust God. I don't have all the answers. I don't know why some people have afflicted children and others don't. I don't know why some are born blind and some not. I think I narrowed it down to three possibilities, but I don't have the answer. I just know this, that sometimes it's for the glory of God. And you and I as believers need to be careful before we judge the brethren.
That's right.
We ought to be comforters. I think it's over in 1 John in chapter 5 when the elders to go over and pray for a person that is sick. I think it says something along these lines, and if they have sinned, it's not an assumption that they have sinned, but if they have sinned, those sins shall be forgiven. Are you afflicted tonight? Examine yourself. I guess there's only two people that can make a judgment. That's God and you. What were you eating last night? Did you really commit a sin? Then confess it.
Amen.
If not, trust God.
Amen.
I don't have anything else to say. Trust God. Every head bowed and every eye closed.